Before calling forward Brother Arthur, let us further sing an exhortational hymn to the number 181. Hymn 181. When thy heart with joy o'erflowing sings a thankful prayer, in thy joy, O, let thy brother with thee share. Hymn 181. Ask for your earnest attention whilst we call forward Brother Arthur to lead us in that necessary word of exhortation. Brother Arthur, please.
Once again, brothers and sisters, on the first day of another week, we meet together, as Brother Stephen said in his prayer, to praise and extol our Heavenly Father, to remember our absent Lord until he comes in the partaking of the bread and of the wine. For 6 days we have been in the world with all its evil ways and foolish jesting. For a few moments we have come away from its influence and shut the door upon it, as it were. It has been said that the meeting together around the word and the table of our Lord is as an oasis is to one wandering in a dry and barren desert. Do we feel this way about it, brothers and sisters? Do we really thirst for the opportunity to meet with those of like precious faith around the world, that we might drink of the water of life? Or do we feel it is the proper thing for brethren and sisters in the truth to meet together? How many have failed to realize the importance of this wonderful privilege that we have, that unmolested we are able to come together in the way appointed? Some have died wandering and chasing the mirage, the false glitter of the world around us. We are reminded, brothers and sisters, of the sobering words of the Apostle Paul. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. As the cool water and the shade of the trees of an oasis refreshes the man on his journey through the desert, so that he may continue on with his journey. So the man or woman in Christ, the brothers and sisters in Christ, is refreshed and uplifted on their journey unto the kingdom as they meet around the table of remembrance and the word of life with those of like precious faith. Those men and women, brethren and sisters, who have the same hopes, the same aspirations, and the same vision before them. In Psalm 42, in the authorized Bible, we read, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." A hind would not pant or bray for water if it was standing over an open stream. The water here is running below the ground in an aqueduct, which although the hind can scent, or even hear flowing in the aqueduct, is unable to drink of it. And so he prays, he cries out in his thirst. This psalm, we are told, bears the marks of being written at the time when David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, was compelled to fly from Jerusalem through Absalom's rebellion. There upon the mountains of Gilead, weary of the things that had befallen him, and of the scorn of those like Shimei the son of Gera, who cast stones at him and cries, "Yahweh hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned." This man after Yahweh's own heart, is in sight of the region of Zion, which he could look down upon, yet not reach. And he laments as that hind. He thirsts after Yahweh and longs to taste again the joy of the house of Yahweh, to meet with them in the house of Yahweh. In Psalm 84 and verse 1, the psalmist says, "How amiable, how lovely are thy tabernacles, O Yahweh of hosts." How lovely. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh crieth out, just as at hind, for the living God. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. In Psalm 27, David writes, "One thing have I desired of Yahweh, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life." Do we feel the same way about our gathering together around the word with brethren and sisters? Do we really thirst for it, longing for the oasis, to drink of the water of life, to get away from the evil and wicked world in which we live? Longing for the time when we can be those of like precious faith to meditate upon the uplifting word of life, that we might praise our God and remember our Lord and Master who died that we might have life, and that in abundance. David, because of his sin, in his weakness of the flesh, was told the sword would never depart from his house. And he suffered much because of the sins of Absalom, whom he loved greatly, and the foolishness of Adonijah, and the hardness of the sons of Zeruiah. So he had a great desire to meet at the temple, to be comforted and to be strengthened in the word, and to praise his holy name, to thank his God for the loving kindness that he had shown upon him in forgiving him of that terrible sin. Turn to Psalm 56, where David shows his trust in Yahweh. Psalm 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresseth me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In Elohim I will praise his word, in Elohim I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down like the people, O Elohim. Thou tellest my wanderings, thou put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for Elohim is with me. Yes, David realized in all his troubles that God was with him. As a traveler who walks through the hot and windy desert and finds that the sun clings to him and chaps his feet and makes him weary of the way, he longs to get to the oasis that he might wash away the sun that has clung to him, to quench his thirst at the water and to rest in the shade of the trees, that he might refresh himself before continuing on his journey. So too, brothers and sisters, isn't it true? The one who is truly in Christ longs for the time to meet around the word of life, so that the things of the world that cling to him might be washed away by the water of the word, so that he might be refreshed to continue on his journey unto the kingdom. What a comfort it is, brothers and sisters, to know that Yahweh hears us when we meet together. So often we come together and we sit down and we fellowship one with the other, and we do not realize that there is one who meets with us. The Lord Jesus Christ said, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. There am I in the midst. He walks through the ecclesias, brothers and sisters. He knows our thoughts, our actions. He knows our problems and our sorrows. And what a strength it is, brothers and sisters, surely, when we meet together. Someone might ask, what are the things that cling to us that need washing away? The ways of the world, brothers and sisters, the things of the flesh that cling to us as we meet with them and walk with them in our daily life, in which we have to spend so much of our time. Turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that we that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the things, are they not, brothers and sisters, of the world in whom we have to walk and live? Envy, pride, hatred, avarice, idolatry, and so forth. And holding so many of the things of this life in great importance, when in reality they are of no consequence should our Lord return. But these things cling to us, do they not, brothers and sisters, as we walk in the world? But how can the Word of God wash away such things as envy and pride? How can the Word wash away envy and pride? By putting them in their right perspective. Putting them in their right perspective. Turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Here we have this well-known psalm and well-read psalm. Verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, says the psalmist, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like as other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about them as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against their hands, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Yes, brothers and sisters, the psalmist was envious at the foolish when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. But on entering the sanctuary, verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Yahweh, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus was my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Yes, brethren and sisters, the Word of God, the Word of God brought this into perspective for the psalmist. On entering the sanctuary, he understood their end. He realized what a fool he was. They were not rich after all. It was he was the one that had the wealth. He was the one who had the true riches. And he almost lost them. They went almost lost, slipped through his fingers. Because of envy. The wise man says in Proverbs, a sound or a wholesome heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. And we are all affected by it, are we not, brothers and sisters? Who is not affected when one sees something that another's got? But it is only the Word, is it not, that will put these things in the right perspective. Remember Ahab, King Ahab, the husband of Jezebel, who envied Naboth's vineyard? And he let it take over his whole life, so that he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face to the wall and would eat no bread. It became to him as the rottenness of his bones. Had he entered into the sanctuary, had he meditated upon the Word of God, as the psalmist did, he might have saved himself, but he did not. He did not. And his envy turned to hatred and bitterness and the life of Naboth and his sons. Just as the psalmist, being envious of the foolish, when he saw the prosperity of the wicked, his feet slipped from under him. Slipped from under him. His steps well nigh slipped. What a lesson, brothers and sisters, there is in this for us. For we are all affected by these things of the world, are we not? They touch us and they cling to us as we meet in the world. May we indeed seek regularly recourse to the Word of life, that we might put these things in their right perspective. For the things that the world have, they are not rich. If we are rich, we have a hope of a glorious life. The Apostle Paul, through the Spirit word, saw things in their right perspective, and he called these things but dung, that he might win Christ. He says, I reckon the sufferings of this present world, or present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Can anything, brothers and sisters, that riches can buy in this world compare with the glorious hope that you and I have? We have been promised to be kings and priests in the age to come with Christ. That kingdom is bestowed with all that entails, brothers and sisters, together with having been bestowed upon with a house from heaven, even immortality. Is there anything in this life compared with that? Moses, living as a prince in the greatest kingdom on earth at that time, brothers and sisters, realized the truth of this very thing. Turn with me to the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews in chapter 11. And verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, with all that hath entailed, brothers and sisters, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them, and so forth. Yes, brothers and sisters, he chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. If we heard in verse 24, by faith, when Moses, when he was come to years, Moses, as it were, came of age. He grew up and realized the truth of the matter, brothers and sisters. And just as David and the Apostle Paul and all who go into the sanctuary grows up when they read the word of truth and realize and put things in their right perspective. Let us consider this morning, then, sisters, through the word, something else that can cling to us in the day of our sojourning. Pride. We can all be proud, can we not, then, sisters? John in his epistle says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the wise man tells us, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honour shall uphold the humble in spirit. We are mindful, are we not, then, sisters, of King Nebuchadnezzar, who in pride said, behold, this Babylon that I have built. And he was brought to naught, then, sisters, as the animals in the field. Turn to Isaiah chapter 66, to the man that Yahweh loves. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. Thus saith Yahweh, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that he built unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things that mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith Yahweh. But to this man will I look, to even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my words. That man that is humbler and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That is the man whom Yahweh will look to. Hatred, brothers and sisters, is another of the things of the world which can cling to us. But our Lord teaches us, does he not, that love is the fulfilling of the law. And Brother Grocott wrote, God does not ask us for great accomplishments. He is not an exacting master. He is a loving father. What does a father ask but love? And what else can we give him, brothers and sisters? What can we give Yahweh? The cattle on a thousand hills are his. We can't give him anything that he already owns. But he asks us to love him with the whole heart and mind and soul, and to let that love, says Brother Grocott, pervert and direct our every act and thought and word. That is all, says Brother Grocott, that is all that he says, but that is everything, and it is it not? Love is everything, and to give our direct our every act and thought and word to the love of Yahweh is everything. It is everything, as Brother Grocott says. Avarice, greed, and idolatry, says the Apostle Paul, are the things of the flesh. And they, too, as we realize, they cling to us as the sand of the desert. Do they not? There is much to be seen, then, sisters, and desired in the world in which we live. It is flashed before our eyes wherever we turn. It brings with it that fleshly feeling that we have to have it. We have to have it. I saw an advert only this last week on an object in a shop. And it seems that it's the type of thing that goes on these days. Written in big letters, got to have it. Got to have it. And how true is the world, and sisters, in this sense? Got to have it. whereas in truth, so often we can well do without it, be rid of it, and more so if we have it, it very often becomes an idol in our hearts, that we have got it and others haven't. It is absolutely amazing, is it not, brothers and sisters, how the media can convince us that we cannot live without this or that invention. Yet not so many years ago, we had to live without them, because they didn't even exist. The world has much to offer, brothers and sisters, and it can take our hearts. It can take our time and our energy, and more terribly, it can take away our heart. It can take away our heart from the things that really matter. Unless we read and meditate the Word and bring things into perspective, the world can take our heart, brothers and sisters. It can take our heart from the very things that matter. The wise man in Proverbs says of the things of this life that they are all vanity and vexation of spirit. Vanity means emptiness, and vexation of spirit means feeding or grasping after. Feeding or grasping after emptiness or nothingness. How true are these words, brothers and sisters? How true are these words? Feeding or grasping after emptiness or nothingness. And it is the Word of God that brings these things into true perspective, does it not? Turn with me to Isaiah 55. Where we learn of the true riches, brothers and sisters, that we should seek and search after. Isaiah 55. O every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is bread? But not bread, and you labour for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hereon your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Doesn't this, brothers and sisters, bring things into perspective? Doesn't this show us where the true riches truly lie? Our Lord is about to return to the earth, brothers and sisters, as we tell our friends and all who will hear us. May we never need those things we set upon them. We might never need those things that we set upon our hearts upon in this life, and neither will our Lord need them when he returns. But what he does desire, and what he seeks after is our hearts. He seeks after our hearts. My son, says the proverb, the wise man, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Here is the lesson, is it not, brothers and sisters? Give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. When Samuel was commanded to go to the house of Jesse to look for a king to rule Israel, he was told, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. The pride of flesh God refuses. For Yahweh seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the inward appearance. Looketh not on the outward appearance. But Yahweh looketh on the heart. Brothers and sisters, if Yahweh has our hearts, he has all our desires. David, we are told, was a man after Yahweh's own heart, which shall fulfill all my desires. He followed fully after Yahweh with all his heart. He fell, yes, through the weakness of the flesh, but in his heart he followed after Yahweh. A lesson for us. The Lord Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We don't have to be a scholar with degrees, brothers and sisters, do we, to understand this? We don't have to be learned to understand this, that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Think of Judas. He saw all the wonderful works the Master did. Raised the dead, healed the sick, brothers and sisters. Yet his heart was on the bag that he held. He was the treasurer of the group. He saw all these wonderful things that the Master did. Yet his heart was on the bag, the money it held, and what it could do for Judas. He didn't heed the word of the Master, brothers and sisters. He didn't heed the words of his Master at all, because his heart was on that bag. Think of Demas, walking in the way of truth with the Apostle Paul in the service of the truth, but looking about him, looking at the things around him, forsaking Paul, having loved this present world. How important, brothers and sisters, to keep our eyes upon the goal ahead. They used to put blinkers on the horses' eyes, brothers and sisters, when they weren't working in the streets, so the horse couldn't see what was going on around, but only directly in front. And that's what we want, is it not? We need to put, as it were, blinkers on our eyes, brothers and sisters, that we keep our goal in front of us, that we keep our eyes upon it as the ploughman looks upon the point beyond and takes not his eyes off it. How many brothers and sisters do we know who have started out on the walk unto the kingdom well and walked with us, have met in the ecclesias, and have thought themselves strong enough to bypass the provided oasis, to bypass the meeting around the word, to bypass the readings that God has left that we might be strengthened and uplifted on our walk into the kingdom. And they have fallen along the way, brothers and sisters. God has provided his word for our learning and for our edification, that we have the vision before us, and we should never take our eyes off it. How many have fallen because they have done that? Turn to Psalm 119, to the words of the psalmist. Psalm 119. And verse 1. Blessed, happy, happy are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of Yahweh. Happy are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect to all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I may not sin against thee. The exhortation, brethren and sisters, for us is obvious, is it not? It is obvious. We must, as the wise man exhorts us, give unto Yahweh our hearts and all our desires, and let our eyes observe his ways. Our Lord, whom we remember this morning, brethren and sisters, laid down his life for his friends. And he said to the faithful, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. May we, brethren and sisters, take advantage of our meeting at the Oasis this morning. May we partake of the word of life and fellowship of those of like precious faith freely in the allotted time we have together. May we let that word motivate and guide our hearts, that we might make characters fit for the Master's use in the glorious kingdom that is to come. We sing the words, friends and sisters, of that lovely hymn concerning our characters. Hymn 77. Now let our humble faith behold our great high priest above, and celebrate his constant care and sympathetic love. Exalted to his father's side with matchless honours crowned, and Lord of the angelic host who wait the throne around. The names of all the saints he bears engraven on his heart, nor shall the humblest saint complain that he hath lost his part. Those characters shall firm remain our everlasting trust, when gems and monuments and crowns and all that this world has to offer, brothers and sisters, have moulded into dust. What a lesson for us. Yes, what a lesson for us. Those characters shall firm remain our everlasting trust, when gems and monuments and crowns, the things of this life, have moulded into dust. Let us give unto Yahweh, brothers and sisters, our hearts. Let us set our eyes and observe his ways. May indeed, brothers and sisters, to him that overcometh, we read in the Apocalypse, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the Ecclesias. May we indeed bring these things, friends and sisters, into their right perspective.
Thank Brother Arthur for his words of exhortation this morning, for helping us prepare our minds for the breaking of bread. And in further preparation, we will take a breaking of bread hymn, number 85. "'Twas on that dark and mournful night, when Jews and Gentiles joined their power, against the Son of God to fight, to mock his name, his life devour. Hymn 85.
Jesus.